Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. And don't forget that Frank Kramer here. Frank Kramer will be out in Torrance at the Spearmint Rhino to watch these
special.
Wait a minute. I can't say that on the air.
What are you doing?
What the hell?
You got the email, what you can and can't say about Sunday.
Jesus Christ. All right, he's going out for the big game. The big game.
You know, we have another official station.
By the way, Leo Quinones is here, and I was going to properly introduce him, but he's
I'm talking.
So coked up that he can't stop moving here.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Listen, we have another official station event that Sunday at Yankee Doodles. I'll be hosting it, and we're going to watch a football game.
Really?
And we're giving away a big screen TV from Howard's, so come on out. Drink
which
tequila
one?
Shots. All the Howards. Howards.com.
No, but which?
Yankee Doodles, Third Street Promenade.
Okay, because there's Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, too, isn't it?
Tim, I got so wasted at one of those big game parties one time because the listeners kept bringing up shots tequila. I woke up the next morning and I sniffed my fingers like this. You know, I'm like, when did I go to McDonald's?
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Oh,
great
man.
Party, man. Come on to Yankee Doodles on Sunday. We're giving away the big screen.
Maybe the end of that story was a relief.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, maybe you didn't go to McDonald's. Maybe you just had a fat chick that night.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
I've had a few.
And her poor nanny.
All right. Leo Quinones is with us. And Gina Grad is also with us. Now, you're going to be doing something on Sunday?
Yeah.
What do you got going?
I'm
going
to be here from 2 to 3 doing a little special Gretchen Massey and Friends segment. I'm going to be hosting the Reality Roundtable from
Fantastic.
2 to 3. Talking about the big game and things that... with the big games. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, and we're going to have some reality celebrities.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
You're an ass.
Evil Dick, I saw him around the studios.
Excuse me?
From Big Brother, Evil Dick. He won $500,000.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, $500,000. Crazy.
All right, Gina Grad is going to do the news here, and Leo Quinones is with us. Gina Grad, the news, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
I get along with Gina. I mean, I'm not a huge fan.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
News time.
We've had our, you know.
What's up with you and Carolla? Why doesn't he like you?
I don't know. His love for me runs hot and cold. Some days he loves me. Some days he makes announcements like that.
All right. Gino, what's going on with the news?
Well, many passengers who experienced the Flight 1549 crash landing firsthand are enraged by the so-called apology perk U.S. Airways is now offering them. Besides the $5,000 checks each person received for their luggage being damaged during the crash, U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker sent letters to the passengers this week, upgrading them to the coveted chairman's preferred status.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a big deal. This perk allows each passenger and a companion to receive first-class domestic travel when seats are available, one upgrade to Europe or Hawaii, and priority check-in. Sounds great, right?
Jesus.
Well, the problem with this little token gesture is that it's only good through March 2010. Passengers of the flight consider this gesture a huge insult for the simple reason that they're not exactly in a rush to get on another plane anytime soon. Some say it would take at least 1 year of solid therapy before they'd even consider reboarding an aircraft. And thus they say they have no use for this perk and it's, only good till next March.
Yeah, that's like getting, thrown in the hospital because you ate some blowfish.
Testicles.
And they give you, a year's supply of sushi.
Yeah.
It is odd. An odd gift to everybody.
All the raw eel you can stomach.
Oh, man.
Landing in water.
Yeah.
Good God. I would give them something better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, lunch with the guy who landed you, you know what I mean? Or
Sully.
Something like, yeah.
And some people even said, I do appreciate it, and it is very nice, but it's not lifetime. Like, we don't just get...
But if I were the CEO of U.S. Airways, I would privately say, listen, guys, you survived. You know, a lot of people don't survive a plane crash.
Right.
It wasn't our fault, so
right.
Get over it.
Well, they kind of did. They said that the letter that the CEO sent them was very frigid, and they said it was very self-congratulatory.
Good.
You know what I would have done if I was a CEO of that airline? I would have sent a letter to every single passenger with two words. You're alive.
Yeah. Right.
Try flying somewhere else, you douches.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, you don't like our planes anymore, then who cares?
Well, you know, there is one guy that's already has his lawsuit in motion.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he said he wants enough money to feel whole again.
You know, I don't know if you guys are this way, but when I'm flying, and maybe this is just me as a West Coast thing, and I look at airlines, I'm going to either Vegas or Seattle or Oregon, I look up Alaska Airlines, JetBlue, Virgin Air, Virgin America, and then, you know, United, America. I never look at U.S. Air.
Really?
Ever.
Why?
I don't know. It never just seems to be, part of my airline experience.
When they pop up like the five airlines, you know, best prices, don't you just
do
plug
they fly
into
to LAX?
I don't think Mr. Rockefeller uses lowestfare.com.
Absolutely.
He goes straight to Virgin.com.
Are you that loyal, Tim, to your air company?
I like these newer airlines like JetBlue, yeah. Virgin America, Southwest.
The Airbuses.
Yeah, because you know what? It's like a no-frills. I love flying out of Long Beach on JetBlue because, you know, Long Beach Airport is what Burbank Airport used to be, a small little airport. There's one terminal. And it's like flying into Akron, Ohio.
You get off the plane like the Brady Bunch, and you
right,
walk
exactly.
outside and into the...
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The Hawaii triple episode. I got you.
Exactly.
So, and then your car is parked literally like 50 feet from where they let you off the plane. You know, you don't have to deal with LAX.
Yeah.
It's great.
I just think those people are ungrateful. You know, the story you just read, Gina.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they should be thankful that they're alive. And
absolutely.
Totally. But on the other hand, if anyone's ever had a bad flight experience, say you sat there the whole time with a broken tray table, you will generally get a letter from the airline saying, "We are so sorry. We will do anything possible to make it up to you." You know, and this was kind of a big deal. I mean, this was very traumatic.
Yeah. Everyone wants everything for free nowadays. They can go F themselves.
Okay.
All right. I hope that what they understand that they're going to be around to see their children, their grandchildren, marriages, and all that crap because of this pilot. And that pilot saved their lives. So.
You know what would have been good? Airfare for life for that person.
Right.
I mean, how much would that cost the airline, really?
Yeah, virtually nothing.
I understand that, but why do they have to then, you know, get somebody in accounting to follow these clowns, these 155 people, for their whole life?
Because they're almost martyred in the airline industry. If there's 5,500 flights up at any given time, and one goes down, and it's saved, and it's graceful, and it's a big ta-da, you know, hey, you can fly with us forever.
It wasn't their fault.
We gave you the traumatic event of a lifetime.
Right.
Now
I understand. I understand if the pilot was drunk and they crash landed. I get that, right? But two birds flew into an engine.
Yeah.
You know, they can't do anything about it. Not their fault. If
That's
it's not
true.
Your fault, why should you pay for it?
That's true.
You know, like if you were like, let's say you're driving your car around. And a rock comes through your windshield
mm-hmm.
on the 405, and you swerve because you've been injured and you hit another car. Should that guy get a lifetime worth of rides from you?
I'm not a big airline, Tim. I'm just the film freak. You know what I mean? So I definitely think.
Or should he get like free movie reviews for his
yeah,
own life?
Nobody would ever pay for those. You know. So I'm just hanging on.
All right. What else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, all you football lovers out there are no doubt gearing up for the big game coming up this weekend. And the leader of the free world is no exception. In this clip, President Obama weighs in on who he's rooting for this Sunday.
All right, here we go.
I have to say, you know, I wish the Cardinals the best. You know, Kurt Warner is a great story, and he's closer to my age than anybody else on the field. But I am a...
Joke sort of fell flat there.
Oh.
My age than anybody else on the field.
Crickets.
Cue the electric tumbleweed.
Nobody.
But... I am a longtime Steelers fan. Mr. Rooney, the owner, was just an extraordinary supporter during the course of the campaign. Franco Harris was campaigning for me in Pittsburgh. So,
Coach signed up with you too. He's president.
Right. Coach Tomlin was a supporter. So I wish the best to the Cardinals. They've been long-suffering.
Well, you don't wish the best for the Cardinals because the best would be winning the Super Bowl by
right.
30 points.
Did you hear what he had to say, though? He had to run a disclaimer, the presidential disclaimer of, I wish the Cardinals the best.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Say something nice about Kurt Warner. But on the other hand, and was that Joe Biden?
I don't know. But who?
I didn't hear that audio. Of the second
president takes sides in a Super Bowl before it happens? I mean, talk about alienating a lot of people. you know, everybody in Arizona, maybe they're already alienated anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, he doesn't have a lot of fans there.
You know, I mean, it was John McCain's home state. But that's BS, to take sides before the game.
Well, maybe that was a subtle F.
You're kidding, Tim.
Arizona.
He's just calling a football game. He's not declaring war on a small nation.
But still, I mean, you know, he's the president of the United States. He's
no matter what he does, you're going to say poo-poo.
No, get the hell out of here,
you're
going to
say poo-poo on whatever he does.
All right, well, let me ask you something. When's the last time a president before the Super Bowl said, I like that team?
When was the last time a president was that relatable to even comment on a football?
Get out of here. Everything that guy does, you'll get on your knees for him. I know you, you clown, you lefty clowns.
No.
Yes, everything.
George Bush and his baseball teams, that was fine, right? That was okay.
You will get on your knees for this guy and laugh
Leo,
it up.
Leo, to be fair, I'd get on my knees.
Gina definitely would. All right.
48, still looking good.
All right, what else going on in the news there?
Well, the New York Post reported... No. The New York Post reported today that actress Eliza Dushku has the soul of a flesh-eating, cannibalistic serial killer, according to animal rights group PETA. In its latest bulletin, the animal rights activists fume that the star of Fox's Dollhouse was bragging on Jimmy Kimmel Live about hunting deer, elk, and other defenseless animals. While the audience reacted in horror, Dushku attempted to defend herself by saying it's okay for her to hunt because she eats those she kills. PETA then allegedly chided Dushku, reminding her that serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer was another example of someone who ate those he killed.
Oh,
yeah, Dushku has not yet responded to this statement.
And people are so effing retarded in this country. They really are.
Yeah.
Well, she's like on the plane of Ted Nugent. I only, you know, kill what I eat.
Yeah, but she's hunting. And she, I mean, that'll go on. It has been going on for thousands of years. And if she eats, even if she doesn't eat, you know, maybe she gives it to somebody else and they eat it.
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
Eliza Dushku, newly featured on MrSkin.com.
And a tough name to grow up with.
Elijah,
in,
weird.
In, yeah. Well, in, yeah, in junior high and high school.
Yeah.
Hey, where's Douche? Like, oh, no.
Douchemeister.
Oh, the new kid's here.
We had a great nickname for a girl. She's a really cute girl. She was a very, not promiscuous at all. Her name was Barbara Teriyachi, but we called her Barbara Harry Crotchy.
You couldn't just go with the easy, the teriyaki or?
No. It was just funny.
What was the nickname?
Barbara Teriyachi. Big fan of the radio station. And we called her, you know, Barbara Harry Crotchy.
Jesus Christ.
Because it was immature.
Charter Okai and Kavina.
It's like one night when Brian Whitman was here, I called him, instead of Whitman, I replaced the W with an S.
Esman.
Yeah, right? And he puts his headphones down and he goes, do you seriously think that's the first time I've heard that?
That's mean, Tim. You were mean and rude.
You don't think that that's been going on since first grade?
And then remember there was talk of renaming the show Seaway and Esman.
Yeah. Because he called me Seaway, but the, you know, the slang term for the big V.
Yeah.
And that would have been a great name for the show.
Hey, Tim, you remember this other Freudian slip you had?
The Conway and Women. The Conway and Women show?
The Conway and Women.
So she shoots a bear, or what does she kill?
A deer, an elk, you know.
She's hunting.
It's game.
That's big to take down. You know what I mean?
She's hunting.
Is that a chick sport, hunting, Gina? Yeah.
Not for me, but for Ms. Dushku and Ms. Palin.
But if it wasn't for hunting, these animals, the animals would get out of control. They would destroy all of the foliage, the forests. I mean, you have to thin them out somehow. You know, you can't just let antelope and deer run wild and reproduce.
So what do you think? She shoots them from a distance?
But even hunters,
does she get in that thing up in the, and then you wait 8 hours and wait for it to come down and pop them? I wonder what her method is.
Who knows?
But even animal activists will say,
control the pop.
You've got to control the deer population. I mean, you do. There's an animal activist in New York that was all in favor of killing the Canadian geese around the airport for one reason. They're taking down airplanes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Time for them to go, you know? Mm-hmm. Survival of the fittest. It's over.
Oh. Elijah Dushku, not too popular, huh?
Not right now. Oh. Not with PETA.
Yeah, but what do you think about hunters? You think bad vibes?
No, I mean, I can't say that because I eat meat now, so right. I can't be a hypocrite. I'm a... I couldn't watch it. You know, so I guess I am a hypocrite. I can't watch it, but I eat it. I'm dealing with that, Tim. Okay. I really am. I'm trying.
I get transfixed and can't tune out of that certain hunting channel.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Where there's the dude and they're in the camouflage and it's 4 o'clock in the morning and they got, you know, turkey urine all over them or whatever. They do the mating call and they wait and there's a turkey about 4 feet from them. Okay, and it's just standing there, and it looks like it's frozen to death. It looks like it's plaster. Okay, he goes, I'm ready. I goes, are you ready? Okay, take the shot. Boom, knock his head down, falls down like a big tree trunk, and he goes, man, my heart was going a mile a minute. Like, what are you talking?
A-holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so I don't get down there for hunting.
Have you ever hunted?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Like what?
Up in Oregon.
Like what kind
I didn't
of
get
stuff?
Anything, but you know, deer hunting. Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Could you take down a deer? What would that do to you mentally if you did it?
Well,
in front of your daughter, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, I think she'd be scared.
I hope my daughter grows up to be a hunter.
Jesus Christ.
My father-in-law goes hunting every year, and they eat whatever they hunt. And they get their allotted, I think it's one deer per person per season, whatever. And they take it home, and they dress the deer there in the field. They'll bring it back, they'll freeze it, and they'll have deer meat for a year, or, 8 months, whatever. And they eat it.
Am I a big wuss because I'm not into hunting at all?
No, I don't think you're a big wuss, but I don't think we should condemn people just because they hunt, you know? I mean, I know a lot of people in Southern California don't hunt, but a lot of people, in Oregon, Washington, around the country, they hunt, and then they eat what they hunt.
Well, let's be honest. When Eliza Dushku is prepping for a role, how much of that big deer can she really eat? How much venison can she choke down?
Well,
a serving?
Good point.
I mean, for you enjoy steak, right?
Of course.
Okay. I don't know if what's more humane or inhumane, to shoot a deer who's been living its entire life in the forest or, on the plains or whatever, or to slice the neck of a cow and watch them bleed out while they're hanging upside down.
A good point. Another good point is, can you imagine a herd? You know, one guy gets sick and he goes, is that actress that took out Johnny? What a wuss.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. All right, Gina, what else is going on with the news?
Well, in other political news, while being the sitting president of the United States, it might seem like a fairly humorless job. But being a former president, on the other hand, well, that can be downright hilarious. Former President George H.W. Bush, along with former President Bill Clinton, attended a forum before the National Automobile Dealers Association in New Orleans and warmed up the crowd with a few off-colored stories. In this first clip, Bush tells a racy story about dealing with a woman outside an abortion rally.
Okay. Now, we do have to take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to play. I hate to keep teasing you like this.
So good.
But this is going to be the best George H. Bush joke you've ever heard. And perhaps the best joke you've ever heard by any president. I guarantee you, it's hysterical.
Stop being Bush's butt, buddy, please.
sorry, Tommy. But it is, it's a great Bush joke, and then Clinton has an even better joke after that. So it really is thrilling. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad is doing the news, and Leo Quinones joins us. We're live at 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk, and Leo Quinones is here. He does the Film Freak show every single Saturday
at 8 o'clock now,
8 p.m. Yeah. 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Coming on right after the Food Freak, right?
That's right, Meryl Schindler, 6 to 8. Then it's me, 8 to 10, and we'll just talk movies and
there you go.
Not be bogged down by movie critics and these Oscar movies that are just so heavy.
Ugh. All right, and Gina Grad is doing the news. We continue here. What's going on with
the news?
Yes,
well, we're about to play the big clip of George Bush Sr. making light of an abortion rally.
This is very funny. Here we go.
One time, we thought we'd outsmarted the crowd. We sent a decoy limousine off in one direction while I snuck out in the back entrance. As we rounded the corner, I'll never forget it, I saw one of the ugliest and angriest women I have ever seen in my entire life. Boy, she was really bad. And she charged my car with a sign, got right next to the window. Stay out of my womb. No problem, lady.
That is great.
Oh, stay out of my womb. No problem, lady.
He drags out that N. You know, nice delivery.
No problem.
And then what happens after that? Clinton
gets
up?
Well, yes, in our next clip, Clinton comments that when it comes to getting away with telling off-color stories, he and Bush are on two different pages.
All right.
You know, he tells jokes that I just couldn't get away with telling. Can you imagine what they would do to me if I told that joke he told up here? Some people can do things, other people can't. It reminds me, you know, the story of the two dogs who watch kids break dancing. And one dog said to the other, you know, if we did that, they'd worm us. I mean, some guys got it, some guys don't.
That is hysterical.
They should take that on the road.
Yeah, I'd see those two performing it live, doing jokes.
The next
jokes.
Conway and Corman here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fantastic.
That's a shocker. It really is. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. The big shocker is that George Bush would say, you know, the ugliest, angriest woman. I mean, really go after.
Wow.
At no
this
problem.
Point, yeah. But he, not, I mean, obviously he's a former president, but he also fits in to the category of the elderly, and they can say whatever they want.
And didn't he make it obvious he likes the back door?
No problem, lady.
No problem, lady. That's great. He's like a, you know, like a, yeah, like a great, your grandfather telling that story.
I like when you said, your, I think it was your uncle or your grandfather, he liked getting pulled over in Cleveland because then he could give the cop a piece of his mind, save him a trip downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, and also, you know, when you're getting old, when you're no longer afraid to be pulled over by the cops, it really pisses you off. You know, a cop pulls you off, you're like, oh, God damn it, what did I do? You know, you start yelling at him. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, finally tonight in Exorcist news, the Telegraph News of England reported today that the staff at the Royal Hospital claim a black-clad figure wearing a cloak is darting between rooms and through walls, especially in departments near the morgue.
Wow.
Senior manager Debbie Butler has now briefed the terrified employees via email, explaining that they have hired an exorcist to come in and rid the hospital of the unwanted visitor. The Catholic Church only uses exorcism as a last resort, and the ritual must be pre-approved by a bishop.
Oh,
as for the alleged ghost, one theory is the figure could be the ghost of a Roman soldier killed on the spot where the original hospital was built in the 1920s.
Jesus Christ.
I don't get into that kind of thing. I think The Exorcist is the scariest movie ever put on film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you know, if that bad mojo can catch a little girl, it can certainly catch a smart-ass Puerto Rican who talks about movies, you know?
Well, Tim, you go back and forth between believing and not believing, right?
Well, I believe that there is something else. I don't really believe in ghosts.
Right.
I do believe that there's an extra energy out there that we can't really explain. But I'm not sure that, you know, a guy's walking around your apartment.
Well, you've heard some things.
Yeah, but I hear things because I'm, you know, 45 years old. I'm getting older.
No, Tim.
I got a way around it now. Now I fell victim to that. You know, the little creeping noise, you hear them.
Right.
Now I have to put that fan on and make that white noise in the background.
Yeah, right,
I'm that kind of a wimp now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually heard, when I was in my office one day, and I heard my daughter laughing in my bedroom, which is right next to my office.
Oh, don't even say it.
And
I know where you're going.
And I go in there to see what she's doing. And I go, hey, Sophia, what are you doing? And she wasn't in there. And I go into the living room to, you know, to see where she was. And my wife had taken her to the mall.
Yeah.
She wasn't even in the house.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she had that imaginary play friend in the mirror.
Jesus Christ.
I just remember that.
Christ.
I remember that doll in the Amityville. No, was it Poltergeist?
I was thinking Twilight Zone. Chatty Cathy.
No. My name is Talking Tina, I don't think I like you.
Oh, God. Don't say this to people who live in studios in Echo Park.
Do you remember the movie The Fog?
I saw that.
Oh, yeah. That was scary.
The, rolls on in.
Yeah.
Well, the new one, the remake of Frank Darabont's, it didn't do it for me because it was like tentacles and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, the poltergeist thing, you know, when the sludge and the tennis ball goes through and this house is clear, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
That crap scares the crap out of me.
This house is clean.
You moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that believe that, you know, the city of Los Angeles is built on, you know, an Indian burial ground.
I was scared of The Exorcist. I didn't see the movie because my mother and my sister, they went to the movie, both had Bibles in their hands and rosaries, you know, that kind of crazy religion, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that, you know, I see him come back visibly whacked, you know what I mean? And I'm like, wow, that's got to be a scary movie.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I want to see it. Scarred me forever. And that whole Exorcist 1, crazy scary. Exorcist 2, stupid heretic with a locust.
Right.
Exorcist 3, scary again. Talking about butt cringe. It was that.
What?
What's
a butt cringe?
Well, just go take your hand, make a fist.
Oh.
Yeah.
But do it with
Awesome. That's all
so
I
is
can
that
say.
Your number one movie, scary movie of all time?
Yeah, because it really screwed me up, and I really don't want to wake up someday and have raised letters on my stomach that say, help me.
Oh, how old were you when you saw it?
Child abuse time, probably, you know, 10, 12.
Yeah, I think I was like 13. How old are you now?
Let's see, I went to Charter Oak High, graduated in 82.
All right, I graduated in 81.
44.
Yeah, I saw it. I think it was like 13 when I saw it. It was pretty scary.
What's your scariest movie of all time?
That's got to be it, right up there.
See? Yeah.
Lizzie Borden had an axe, or the whole Lizzie Borden. Oh, that was pretty bad.
I remember going to the West Cove Theater in West Covina, seeing the Amityville Horror, coming home to an empty house, thinking something was going to say, get out.
Oh, my God.
And I was freaked out for the whole night. And believe it or not, I was freaked out by the Blair Witch Project.
Me too.
I freaked. It was polarizing. People go, that's the lamest thing ever, blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow.
Well, it wasn't the lamest thing ever before it caught on. When people were just going to see it for the first time, it was effing scary.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And you guys aren't afraid of Psycho? That's too kitschy for you guys?
No, because it's been redone so many times that, you know, you have to be around for the original. But getting back to the story.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they have those paranormal shows where they're in the dark and they're carrying those cameras and you see those night vision things going around. That kind of stuff gives me a little sphincter tightening.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not a house where you can leave. It's a hospital. You're basically strapped to your IV.
You're now entering the room where a lady cut her own throat in a psycho ward. You must sit there by yourself in the dark for 45 minutes.
Winner gets $1,000. Good luck.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on.
All right, the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news. With Gina Grad.
I got gonorrhea from Gina.
Give us 8.5 minutes and we'll fill it with words.
Totally true.
Another guy you gave gonorrhea to. All right, Leo is with us, the film freak.
Yeah, man.
Leo Quinones. Have you seen the piece that they put together where they compared Forrest Gump to Benjamin Button?
I heard you talking about this.
Did you see it then?
And I was going to call in. I have not seen this piece that you're talking about. But
have you seen both movies?
Yes. And here's where I feel a little inadequate. I saw Benjamin Button twice.
You did?
And I did not have one thought of Forrest Gump.
Really?
At all.
Really?
So I feel kind of stupid. So when
did you like Benjamin Button?
That's why I didn't call in. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Right.
See, that's my problem. That's my cross to bear, Tim. I like movies. That's my problem.
Right.
You know, movie critics are a-holes who don't like movies. If they see 100 movies, they'll only like 10. So that means 90% of the time, they're like, oh, it's pass. So I'm the other guy. I like 90 movies. So I'm dying to hear what this is and weigh in on it. And
all right, listen to this. This is actually pretty funny. They compared Forrest Gump to Benjamin Button. All right, and it's the same writer, I believe, on both movies.
Eric Roth.
And I'll tell you where I think this works for guys like me. Well, I saw Forrest Gump, and I didn't plan on seeing Benjamin Button because I'm not a big fan of movies like you are. But after seeing this, I want to now go see Benjamin Button to see if the comparison...
I have a copy in the car. You want
you
it,
do?
Tim? Yeah.
Nah, because I like going to the theater to see it, you know?
Attaboy.
Yay, put
I
it
like
on the
that.
Big screen. Take the kid. All right, here's the comparison. Listen to this carefully.
From the writer of Forrest Gump comes The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, A story of a remarkable boy raised in Louisiana by a single mother.
Benjamin.
Handicapped at birth, he eventually learns to walk. As a child, he meets the true love of his life.
Are you sick? Are you stupid or something?
They grow up and part ways. She moves to the big city. He travels the world, enters a war, becomes a hero, finds his girl. But she is not ready.
This is my life. I gotta get out of here.
He returns home to his mama. He spends time on a boat in the Gulf with a drunk. He befriends a weird black dude. And he always remembers the cryptic advice from his mama.
Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Remember what I told you?
You never know what's coming for you.
That's right.
The writer of Forrest Gump brings you the touching story of a man-child told through flashbacks with thick New Orleans voiceover.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
My name's Benjamin. Benjamin Button.
If you see only one version of Forrest Gump this year, make it The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It's exactly like Gump, except no AIDS. Playing at a theater near you again.
It's pretty good. What do you think?
I can't tell you how stupid I feel right now because it's remarkable on so many different plot points.
It can't just all be coincidence, I guess. Maybe it is. Who knows?
You know what? The nail in the coffin is it's the same writer.
Yeah, it is the same writer.
If it's two different guys, I'll pawn it off as coincidence. But
you know what? This is the thing that works for this movie is the internet buzz that it gets. Because, again, for guys like me, and you may get 10 to 15% more people out there wanting to go see the movie to see the comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if I didn't know there was any comparison, and we never came across this, and again, if you want to see this, it's on our website, timconwayjr.com, and check out the link. You can actually see the video of the comparison of two movies. But for guys like me who weren't going to see it, now I want to go out this weekend and see the movie.
Well, let's not be disillusioned. Forrest Gump was Best Picture. You know, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, but this thing also has 13 nominations.
Yeah, you know, it does. And it's nominated for Best Picture as well. But
and also, we've talked about it twice this week, once for an hour and once with you for about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if there wasn't any comparison, we would never mention the movie.
Well, I'm talking about my visceral experience of seeing Benjamin Button and seeing Forrest Gump.
Right.
Forrest Gump was 10 times more emotionally involved than Benjamin Button, even though I enjoyed watching Benjamin Button. I think Forrest Gump is a far superior picture.
You know, Forrest Gump, and Randy pointed this out last night, I agreed with him, that if you're flipping around on a Saturday afternoon and you come across Forrest Gump on cable or whatever, you sit there and you watch it.
Oh, no. This is what happened to me. Less than 6 weeks ago, couldn't sleep, but 4 a.m, like you said, flipping through cable, last 45 minutes of Forrest Gump, just in time to watch Mama and Jenny die.
Right, yeah.
So I'm sitting
You're off
there.
To sleep.
I'm just sitting there under a quilt, crying like a little girl, you know what I mean?
Right.
Going, and I just go, man, I just, you know, got up, took a couple shots in the nuts, went to bed. You know, I mean, it is really an emotional wallop there, you know.
All right, I'm going to check it out this weekend.
I applaud you for seeing it in a movie theater, but don't take your daughter to see it.
Yeah,
she's going to talk. She's going to talk.
Ah, please, get out of my daughter loves that kind of crap.
No, I know, but she's going to ask you, Dad, what's going on? He's so old.
I can have some money.
Yeah, you can have plenty of money, baby. All right, real quickly before you have to get out of here, you've been at the station 10 years.
Yes.
And I've been at the station a little longer, not much longer. And both of us have just worked under one guy,
mm-hmm.
Bob Moore,
yeah.
Who left the station today. And it felt like somebody punching me in the stomach.
I've worked for a lot of a-holes, but there's only one GM that I would definitely take a bullet for.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, he's just one of the guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll do anything for the Tim Conway Jr. show, whether, you know, come out to the Commerce Casino or
right.
lose all his money or whatever. You know, he's just, I had dinner with him tonight and we were at the Grove. We went to go see Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Yeah. And by the way, Bob Moore was the general manager of this station and had been with CBS and Infinity and this station for, I believe, 28 or 29 years.
Yeah. You know, Bob Moore is great and everybody, but when are you going to take me there to meet her?
Oh, Jackie Johnson?
Yeah, we're looking up at a silent picture of Jackie Johnson. And Tim goes every month he goes,
yeah,
and he does a big broadcast over there. But how many times has he asked a film freak to go out there and say,
Jackie Johnson.
Look at that. I mean, if you're not watching Channel 9 right now.
Yeah, flip on your TV to Channel 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very hot tonight.
Okay, so I'm expecting an invite.
Yes, you will. You will get an invite when we do another one of those.
Okay, so Bobby Moore.
Yeah. Nicest guy and the best guy. If you could work for any one human being for your entire career, it would be Bob Moore. And I know a lot of people at the station have worked here much longer than I have, like Ron Escarzaga, and I believe Anita's been here a little longer than that. And to work for, this is truly a really stand-up guy. And again, very rarely do you work for a guy for 12 years and really enjoy working for him. Usually, mm-hmm, at one point, you hate the boss, or the boss, you don't get along with him.
God damn it.
Or the guy turns out to be, you know, a major a-hole. But this guy, man, beautiful, beautiful guy.
You know, he has, he's a disruptive management force. You know, he pays his salespeople really well. And he had a karaoke machine. He has a karaoke machine in his office. And it's typical for Bob Moore to abuse it.
Oh, really?
Remember,
right. Remember the old station.
3580, he would play it over the loudspeaker, and he would do it to the point of distraction. He would play old Howard Stern clips, you know what I mean, where they're going, you know, who's that marketing manager, Michael Sponberg? Michael Sponberg? And he'd play Michael Sponberg, Michael Sponberg, Michael Sponberg, and he would play it over the loudspeaker so much that it would drive some of the salespeople to distraction, and they would get upset. And I'm like, what are you getting upset about? Just put your phone up there and say, hey, I work for a crazy radio station. Do you want in or do you want out? And that's who Bob Moore is. You know?
It really is a real great guy. And when we were at our own station up the ways, up Wilshire Boulevard here, 3580 Wilshire, and then we're now involved with five stations here where we are on Wilshire, a little closer to Fairfax. But when we had just one station, 97.1 KLSX up a ways, we were free to do a lot more things than we could do here, you know, because you got there's a lot more corporate around here, and you got to watch what you say, because a lot of women work for other stations who will, you know, pass through the kitchen. But I remember the old station, Bob could actually get on the loudspeaker and call Jack Silver, the program director, to his office, and he would always do it this way, and it would irritate Jack like nothing else. But he'd go, paging Mr. Meehoff, Mr. Jack Meehoff.
God damn.
And you see, like, Jack, you know, just totally a totally beaten man, have to walk through the entire station to get to his
Jack
office.
Goes, honestly, freak, he's crazy. This guy's nuts. And you hear over loudspeaker,
hey, Jack, I'm just your general manager, or do you think you can come by when you have a second? I'm just your general manager.
On the loudspeaker.
The best was, Jack, Mr. Meehoff, Mr. Jack Meehoff. And you have to walk through the station and like a beaten dog, you know, like a kid who was going to the principal's office. It was classic.
Yeah.
All right, Leo.
Thanks, buddy.
Where is your website? Where can people check you out?
I'll be at filmfreak.com. Email me there tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on the Film Freak Show. Sunday, the big game, Yankee Doodles in Santa Monica, giving away a big screen TV from Howard's.
Wow.
I'll have tickets to see the movie Push and giving away a bunch of DVDs. So coming out there, let's get blasted in Santa Monica, 3rd Street. Yankee Doodles.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, buddy.
I love it. All right, when we come back, totally open phones, 10 o'clock Friday. Always interesting. Never know what you're going to get. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM.
Complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.